heartbeat this morning of the Father's heart for us, and it was lovely. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the song. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And if you hear anything from me this morning, it's that. Proverbs tells us to guard our hearts because from it flows the wellspring of life. And you know, if we guard our hearts in God, then we can't do anything better. It's his heart, as you sang this morning, that he wants us to see in all of this. So I'd just like to take you through the little journey this morning, not too long because time is going, through Psalm 18, which, as I said, is exactly the same as 2 Samuel 22:2, and David was ending his life and coming to the end. Now, the letter Bet is representative of the numeric of 2, and I love it personally, so I'm sure that's why the Lord gave it to me, because it's the literal meaning of the letter is it's a tent, it's a house, it's a place to dwell. It's a place to dwell, and its symbolic meaning of Bet too is to go in and to go into. So we step in. We step in. We don't just look at it and think that's a place to dwell. That's more than a place to dwell. It's a place where we step into his heart, where we step into him. Now, David knew Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh intimately. And it's the intimacy of the presence of God in David's life that created such a magnificent life with its ups and downs. And that's us as well. The intimacy of our hearts before the Lord, with our ups and our downs. And I've spoken to a couple of you and you've shared little stories of your lives, and I've intimated a little story of mine, just slightly. So we're all on a journey. But we're on a journey on the ancient paths. But we're on a journey in faith because we know who our God is. So as we journey with him on those ancient paths with a new experience of the intimacy of his heart. So this is where my thinking has been when I've been doing Psalm 18. That David is looking back on the journey of his life, and he has loved God from a little boy. He was set apart by Samuel as a late teenager, set apart because he had a different heart. Different to his brothers, the big strong brothers, the older brothers that showed all sorts of prowess. God saw his heart. He said, I saw a man whose heart was after me. And so I would encourage us to just keep loving him deeply, keeping the intimacy of his heart. Because where we dwell, where we live, where we stay, where we remain, where we sit, where we rest, where we dwell, is in his presence, in and through the ups and downs of our lives, as David did. Now, so David ran into the name, the Hashem name, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the magnificence of the massive character and attributes of God, which God revealed to him at different stages of his life. If you look at all the different names of God and the experiences that people went through, they went through different things, and God came alongside and he was shepherd to David. He was shepherd to David, and when David was in trouble, he carried him as a sheep on his shoulders. But when David was the warrior before Goliath, he was there as, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord of hosts. Then he was running from Saul, he was running from Absalom, and quickly going through David, because he was running, and he knew God then as his strong tower. You have a tower shape out of this window here. You have a tower shape. So when you look at that tower shape, you know that that's what God is in our lives. Yes. He is a strong tower. Mm. So I want us to just look through this psalm and just enjoy, because we can be infused with all that He is, all the names of God. If you want to, in through the winter now, just enjoy Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, and just enjoy it, whatever ticks your boxes, but you know what I mean. You can see the progression of life, and you can see the flow of God. And you know, I look back and I can see the times when God has been all different things to me, but at the bottom of it all, He's had my heart. He has actually had my heart, even though other people have thrown my heart away. Oh, you understand? God never throws our heart away. He holds it like that. I think the reason the Lord was touching my physical heart this morning, because I felt Him from the throne room put His hand into my heart and what's the word?
Massage it.
I felt that this morning. That He was massaging my heart. And I leave that with you, because I felt it was for somebody this morning besides me. That He will massage your heart. And it's His heart that's massaging your heart and my heart. It's so deep. His ministry and His love and His presence is so deep and so dwelling and so alive. And so real. So, but when do we guard our hearts? Well, from it flows everything that we are in God. Mm. And so David ran into His name. Mm. And I just want to take us through a couple of the names of God right now to encourage us into the things that David saw. But the biggest meaning, the biggest thing for me with David, is that he was God's choice. God's choice. And we are God's choice. We are His beloved. We are His. We are wholly His. One with Him. One with Him. And David's name means loving or beloved. Love. But David. David. It's a nice sounding name, isn't it? And David is loving. Beloved. A bit like Job, really, the beloved of God. And he was the Lord's choice. Now, I love the Apostle Paul when he says that God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the foolish so that no one can boast. So our boast this morning, our boast, we stand on solid, solid ground that we are the Lord's. And our boast is only in Him. And David's boast was always in Yahweh. He was always in Hashem. He was always in the name of who God was. And the character and attributes of God displayed in his life over the time that we see here. So chapter 18, as I said, is a duplicate of David's life. Now, David was also a skilled musician. And so he sang lots of songs. And the Psalms are full of the songs that David sang. But David's tent, David's heart, David's tent. I want you to see that word tabernacle. When it says that, John 1 verse 14, and the word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Yeah. So it says dwell in our translations, but the actual word is tabernacled. The actual word is he put a canopy. Now Jane took us into an experience in the Lord last night, and she said he opened the canopy. Mm. He opened the canopy. He opened the place where he dwells, and he came down. And this psalm speaks of that. So I got so excited when Jane said that yesterday, because I thought, oh, those words are in this psalm. And that's exactly what he does. He tabernacles because he sees the intimacy of our hearts. So I want us to look at two Samuel 22:2 if you want to do it that way, or Psalm 18 if you want to do it the other way, whichever you prefer, or just listen as I read. It's said, I read of David once, that David was a seeker and a finder of God, and a seeker and a finder still. And I think we can say that over ourselves today.
Yes.
He seeks God and he finds him. And then he seeks God and he finds him. And then he seeks God and he finds him. And he continually seeks God and finds him. Because he says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And I found this quote about praise. Because David then responded always with praise and worship. I reckon he must have been singing songs on those hills in Bethlehem when he was a little youngster, when he knew the Lord, when he was shepherding the sheep, when he was going everywhere. And all through his life he sang songs. God used him in mighty ways, even when Saul was king, and David had already been anointed, but Saul was still king. And David was invited by Saul to come and play. Because when David played, his spirit, Saul's spirit, was calmed, want of a better word. And so David knew how to worship. David knew how to have the intimacy of his heart with God's heart. And the psalms and the songs that he sang were then when he came and was penning this now, and he was handing over to Solomon. He was handing over much more than just, this is the design that God has given me. I'm not allowed to build it. And that must have really hurt his heart. He said, I'm not allowed to build it, but I am allowed to get all the preparation for you, Solomon. I am allowed to pass it over to you. And Solomon, I pass you all the songs of worship and adoration and praise that I've written all these years for you to use in the temple.
Yeah.
And when the temple was built, read it in Chronicles, it's exciting. Yeah. The prayer that Solomon prayed, and God gave him wisdom. But David's heart was the one that opened the door. Our hearts open the door for things like Lydia has just seen in the Spirit this morning. Open the door for people to be born again by the Spirit of God, of people to see that Jesus is the light. And that picture that Jane showed you, that people would know that he is the light. And so when David passed it over to Solomon, he passed over all of his heart. Can you see the Passover of the generations? I love the Passover of the generations. We pass over to you, younger generation. We pass it over to you. Because we are walking a path, and then you are walking behind us. And David did that. The end of his life, Solomon was then to reign. But God said to Paul, Luke in Acts, that he fulfilled every good pleasure of my plans and destinies for him. That just blows me. That God could say of a man that he fulfilled his plans and purposes that was on God's heart. Because he said, and David was a man after my own heart, with his faults and failings. So take courage that with our faults and failings, and the ups and downs, the valleys and the hills of our lives, we can fulfill the destiny scrolls that are written in heaven for us. So this is all about, this psalm is all about trust and the intimacy of our hearts towards him, and staying in that place of dwelling, abiding, resting, trusting. You'll like the word tabernacle when you next read it. You'll like the word tabernacle. Because in Moses' tabernacle, the Shekinah glory came and he dwelt. And when that Shekinah glory came on that mountain, the mountain shook, the earth quaked.
Yay.
And listen to this description that David uses here of how God was like that during his life. He says, Lord, I passionately love you. In this one, it just says, Lord, I love you. This translation is so good. This is the Passion translation. And he says, Lord, I passionately love you. I want to embrace you. So picture this being penned now as an older man, as, you know, might have been our age. Well, my age, maybe, I don't know. For now you've become my power.
Wow.
And strength.
Yes.
You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet. In the Message translation, it says it like this. I love you, Lord. You make me strong.
Yes, Jesus.
The Lord is bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live. My rescuing knight.
Yes, the one.
My God, the high crag where I run to for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. I think you'll understand that I'm pretty enjoying him as the rock. We have lots of mountains in Wales, and I picture mountains. They seem to feature in everything I do. You have mountains and bedrock. He's the security beneath our feet. He is our security. Like a castle on a cliff, a forever firm fortress. My mountain of hiding and my pathway of escape.
Yes, Jesus.
My tower of refuge where none can reach me, and my secret strength and a shield around me. You are salvation's ray of brightness shining on a hillside, always the champion of my cause. So all I need to do is call upon you. Wow. I think that was a sentence that we need to hear. So David says, the key to my life, guys, has been I've called on him and he's answered me, and he's been all the above. He's been all the above. We call to him and he answers us. And then he says, so I sing to you, the praiseworthy God. And when I do, I'm safe and sound in you. For when the spirit of death wraps chains around me and terrifying torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, taking me to death's door, to doom's domain, I cried out to you in my distress, the delivering God.
Yes, Jesus.
And from your temple throne, you heard my troubled cry. My sobs came right into your heart, and you turned your face to rescue me.
Yes.
Now, Jane often says we need to turn our face into him, but actually, he turns his face into us at the same time. And David experienced this. He went through terrible things, almost dying, at I don't know how many stages of enemies, goodness knows, within and without, within his family, within his circumstances, even his eldest son, Absalom. Absalom, you know, tried to usurp the throne for him. And yet when Absalom was killed, he cried, a deep cry, oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom. But he didn't want any of that. But through all that, he felt as though he was almost at the brink of death or almost at the brink of a breaking heart. And he cries out to God, and God rescues him. God heals him. God comes and gives him succor where he needed it. And he does that for us today. I hope this is encouraging your heart. David knew, this is what I get out of David mostly, David knew how to dwell, how to tabernacle in the name of who God is, in his presence, knowing his character, and his attributes, and he knew how to pull on them because he knew how to dwell. And during those little times, the Bathsheba time, you know, during that year, it would have been barren. During that barren year, then that day comes when he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any unclean way in me." Psalm 51. Search me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So even in those times, when we get into those low periods, it's just a cry away. I get amazed at the Lord. I get amazed because he's just a cry away for me. It's just, Lord, I'm off kilter.
Yes.
I'm off kilter, Lord. Bad week. You cry and he comes and he surrounds us with his wraparound presence. Okay, I'd like to read this particular bit for you because it ties up with what we saw yesterday. When he cried out to God, "You turned your face to rescue me," and this was the rescue. Just want to share the rescue with you now. "The earth itself shivered and shook. It reeled and rocked before him as the mountains melted and melted away, for his anger was kindled, burning on my behalf. Fierce flames leapt from his mouth, erupting with blazing, burning coals of smoke and fire encircled him, and he stretched heaven's curtains open." So just picture the scene. David is describing the almightiness of God. He's describing how powerful he is. He's describing him in all his might and his glory. He's describing him as the warrior God. He's describing him as the one who comes and rescues big time. So just listen to the pictorial description of how David sees him. "He stretched heaven's curtains open and came to my defense, and swiftly he rode to earth as the stormy sky was lowered. He rode a chariot of thunderclouds amidst the thick darkness. A cherub his steed as he swooped down, soaring on the wings of the spirit wind, wrapped and hidden in the thick cloud presence, his thunder tabernacle surrounding him. He hid himself in mystery darkness." Time to read Ephesians anytime, just read what it says about his power and his mystery and his amazing grace and his surpassing power to uphold us and to keep us. And we're talking about this mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery that we are in him and he is in us. "The dense rain clouds were his garments, and suddenly the brilliance of his presence breaks through with lightning bolts and with a mighty storm from heaven." "Like a tempest dropping coals of fire, the Lord thundered, the great God above every God." He is known as the Most High there, Elyon. He is the Most High God. "He speaks with a thunder voice from the skies, and what fearsome hailstorms and flashes of fire before him. He releases his lightning arrows and routs my enemies to how they run and scatter in fear. Then with his mighty roar, he lays bare the foundations of the earth, and covering the secret source of the sea, look, the hidden depths of land and sea are now exposed by the hurricane blast of his hot breath. Then he reaches down from heaven." He opens that canopy and he reaches down.
Come on. Come on.
Boy, David has got
one
spiritual imagination and experience of how awesome God is. He reached down from heaven, all the way from the sky to the sea. "He reached down into the darkness to rescue me," he said. "He took me out of my calamity and my chaos, and he drew me into himself." That was David's experience. But the awesomeness of God, he saw in the heavenly realms. He saw it. He experienced it. And he says, and he took me out of my calamity and my chaos. And he drew me to himself. Oh, he drew me to himself.
Yeah.
Taken from the depths of my despair.
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
Says, the Lord held on to me.
Yes.
His love, his father heart love, his love broke open the way. Broke it open.
Yeah.
Broke it open.
Yes.
He broke open the way. He broke open the way. He brought me into a beautiful, broad place.
Yes.
A spacious place, it says in another verse. He brought me into a spacious place. And that space is where we are free to roam and confined by the threats and terrors that hemmed us in, said David. He brought me into a beautiful, broad space. He rescued me because his delight is in me. His delight is in us. We are in him, he is in us. I delight in you. He rewarded me for what's doing right and staying pure. I will follow his commands and never stop. See, God was pleased with David because his heart was after him. He said, I've kept my eyes focused on his righteous words. And I think that's a big key for us as well this morning, where our eyes are focused. You know, Colossians tells us to set our affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. For your life is hidden with Christ in God, where he is seated, where? At the right hand of the Father. So where we set our affections, I started with that verse from Proverbs, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. If we guard in our hearts, and if we have in our eyes focused, we're hidden in him. And he says, I've kept my heart pure and my integrity by surrendering to you, God. By surrendering to you. It's another key of the intimacy of our hearts. Staying close, fixing our eyes, surrendering, knowing who he is, dwelling with him, tabernacling with him. I'll go on down. Oh. Just go to this one beautiful word. So the Lord rewards me with his blessing. This is the treasure I discovered. Now if you read Ephesians, boy, that's a treasure chest of gems and truths to put and hold. Read it. Challenge you to read Ephesians this week and see what it does to you. To the humble, you bring heaven's deliverance.
Wow, thank you, Father.
To the humble, you bring heaven's deliverance. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He says, God, all at once you turned on a floodlight for me. You are the revelation light in my darkness, and in your brightness I see the path ahead. I wondered, I thought, David, are you, you know, he was seeing heaven. With all this he was seeing heaven. Listen to this description now that he saw. He said, the path ahead, with you as my strength, I can crush an enemy horde. He's looking back, remember, and he did that in his youth. He did that in his middle years, but now he's an older man. And he said, advancing through you and through every stronghold, because I am in you.
Yes.
Every strong order stands in front of me, and this is the praise, and maybe we'll just finish on this because time's gone.
Keep going.
Hmm?
Keep going.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I was looking to... okay, great. So what a God you are. What a God you are. Yeah. We can park on that sentence alone. You can sing it to your heart's content. What a God you are, what a God you are. What? What?
Yeah.
A God?
Yeah.
You? Yeah. What a God you are. What a God you are, Father. Oh. What a God you are. Your path for me has been perfect.
Yeah.
And your promises have proven true. What a God you are. Yeah. What a God you are. Ah. Oh. Because he's I am, present in his sense. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. What he was to you yesterday, be more so today, and he will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he is I am. He is I am that I am. He is I will be to you whatever you need me to be.
That's right.
Yeah. So I will be to you whatever you need him to be. He's El Shaddai.
Yeah.
He's the one who is all in all. He is the one who is everything. And he is the one that says, I am. And Jesus, the descriptions of Jesus in the Gospel of John, I am the good shepherd, so he can be a shepherd to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life, so he can be the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one who sustains you. I am. Think of all the I ams. And he is, what a God he is! What a God he is! What a God you are! What a secure shelter for all those who turn to hide themselves in you. Hiding.
Yeah.
You hide me in the rock. Our dear friend Moses, God said, he said, show me your glory, Lord. Exodus. He said, show me your glory. And he said, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, he said. And I will show you. I will pass by you. He said, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock so that my glory and my mercy and my loving kindness will pass by you. Can you see Moses? Hidden in that rock, hidden in that cleft, with his hand protecting him, because as much as Moses had experienced God, this was a moment where God says, you can't experience all of me, but I will show you my loving kindness and my good. I will give you a taste. I will give you a taste. And his presence passed by Moses in the cleft of that rock. What a secure shelter for all those who hide themselves in you. We used to sing our old-fashioned song, hiding in thee, O blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Wonderful, old-fashioned words, but the truth. You are the rock wrap around God, giving grace to me. Another version says, You surround me with cascading grace. Which one of you had a fountain yesterday, waterfall? Cascading grace.
Beautiful.
It was cascading grace you were under.
Yeah.
Yes. Could there be any God like you, he says? Could there? You are the only God to be worshipped. For there is not a more secure foundation to build my life upon, said David.
Yes.
For you have wrapped me in power. Ooh, God, bring Ephesians back in here, sorry. You have wrapped me in power, and now you've shared me with me your perfection. You have set my way blameless in your perfection. Although And through you I ascend to the highest peaks of your glory, to stand in the heavenly places strong and secure in you. Gosh, did David do all this long before we did? Oh, what? And this psalm says everything that we did yesterday. You've trained me with the weapons of warfare worship. Now I'll descend down into battle with power to chase and conquer my foes, for you empower me for victory with your wrap around presence. Your power within me makes me strong to subdue, and by stooping down in gentleness, God here is stooping down in gentleness.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Can you see how many attributes of God is penned in this psalm alone? And by stooping down in gentleness, you strengthened me and made me great. He made David great through his gentleness.
Yes, thank
gentleness. You've set me free from captivity, and now I'm standing complete, ready to fight some more. You've placed your armour upon me. Whoa, back to Ephesians. Enjoying Ephesians. You've placed your armour upon me and defeated my enemies, making them bow low. David ends with praise, which I'll end with now, but I just want to take you down one little road, if I may. Back up to verse 32. You have wrapped me in power. You empower me for victory, and your wrap around presence, your power within me makes me strong. I'd like to read two verses from Ephesians at this stage. Ephesians 1 verse 19. And it says, I pray, Paul's prayer, I read it to you last night, is that every moment you will experience the measureless power of God made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Shall I read that again? Okay, I'll read it again. Just realise what David is talking about here, his power that strengthened him all his life. Now as a slightly older man, you know, getting the preparations ready for the tabernacle and the temple that Solomon will do, and so on and so forth. He's looking back and saying, wow, Lord, your power sustained me and made me great.
That's right.
Ephesians tells us that every moment you can experience the measureless power of God made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power, of the immense power, of the immense power through you, through me. I'd like a party popper now. This power is the explosive and mighty resurrection power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honour and supreme glory in the heavenly realm. So that's the power, the measureless power that God has made available to you through faith. So that you can say to that mountain of building over there, be removed. We don't want the building removed.
We want the obstacles removed. Yes. Yeah.
We want that building.
We're the obstacles people.
You claim that mountain and say the obstacles are to be removed. And then the next one. Who knows what I meant?
I know.
Yeah. And then I'll read this bit to you again. And I pray, and Paul prays again. They would pour over you, and you, and me, and you, 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 the unlimited riches of his glory and favour.
Amen.
Until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. So do we believe that? Do we believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us? Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love, back to tabernacle and dwelling and resting and remaining and sitting and enjoying, will become the very source and root of your life. I don't know about you, but I want to be that Jeremiah 17 tree. Rooted and grounded and producing fruit in its season. So you will be rooted, the very source and root of your life, providing you the secure foundation that grows and grows. So we are to grow up in God. We are to grow up in him who is the head. He is the head. Then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover that every Holy One experiences the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. We're back to the intimacy of his heart again. So never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. There you are. That's yours. And exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that raises from every ecclesia and every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will be manifest yet through time and eternity. So God, to go back to 2 Samuel 22:2, David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord had delivered, had delivered. And that word delivered is a lovely word. It means to snatch away, to defend, to deliver, to preserve, to rescue, and to recover. Recover is a big word. We're going to recover
Lord,
the things. That the enemy has stolen. We're going to redig the ancient wells. We're going to redig again. Isaac is going to redig the wells that his father Abraham dug. And the enemy clogged. He's going to rescue and recover. In the day of the Lord, that the Lord, had delivered him out of his hand, and out of the hand all his enemies, the adversary. And out of his hand, the lovely description of the word hand in Hebrew, and it says it's the hollow, it's like the cleft of the rock, it's the hollow. And it means the hollow or the palm of a hand. But figuratively, it's power, strength, and force of his hand working on our behalf. And he said, you've delivered me from all my enemies now to the hand of Saul. Saul had been quite bad to him. So he said, you are my rock. You are my fortress. I'll read it to you in the original Hebrew. Not the Hebrew words, the transliteration of the Hebrew words, but the way it reads in the Hebrew. And he said, I will love you, Hashem, my strength. Hashem is my rock, my fortress, and my rescuer, my God, my rock, in whom I take shelter, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The God of my rock, in him I will trust.
Yes.
He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge.
Lord.
He is my saviour and thou savest me from violence. That's verse 3. So if you want to meditate again on this, there's 2 Samuel 22:2 and tip into verse 3. Because he says there, you are my rock, solid place. You are my rock, and in you I will trust, and you are my shield. Now the shield that he's referring to here is like the smaller shield, the shield and the buckler, and the defense. And it's too late to go into the I've done the Hebrew letters of it, but it's really nice. But in Psalm 3 verse 3, just give you this to look at. Psalm 3 verse 3 says, you are a shield about me. You are a shield around me. You are a shield about me. You are that protecting shield. You are that Magen. You are that shield which is around me and stops the enemies coming. And it refers to that smaller shield, but it also refers, there's a different type of shield which was a rectangular shield. I mean, we think of that with the Ephesians 6, which is the, you know, the big one that you all lock together in shields of faith. So the Lord is a shield around us, and then we have our shields of faith, and when the enemy comes we lock our shields together so that we would lock together like this. And when Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 about the shield of faith, it was, you probably know it well, but, you know, the Roman army, they would go into, defensive mode, and the shields would be locked together, and then those in would put their shields up and make it like, they called it a tortoise shape. It was a tortoise shape. So we shield one another. So we lock our shields, we shield one another, we come together as one. And then over and above us, we've got the canopy. I'll use that word canopy because we've had a lot this weekend. The canopy of his shield and around us. Okay. He's our shield of protection. And he's our salvation. He says, you are the horn of my salvation. And then I'll just read the praise at the bottom. That word horn is rather interesting, and I enjoyed doing a little word study on this. It says, and the horn in scripture, horn is used to denote strength, since the horned animal vanquishes its enemy with its horns.
Wow, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just picture it. So horn is a projection. By implication, it's also representative of a cornet in front, or flesh. They give an example of an elephant's tooth, ivory, a corner of the altar. Well, there's the corner of the altar, remember that was a horn? And they ran to it for safety. And it's also a reference to the peak of a mountain. And figuratively, a horn means power. We're back to power again.
Yeah.
We're back to strength, because figuratively a horn means power and strength. So we're back to the strength that we have as one together, holding our shields of faith against the enemy's onslaughts. We water, we weather the shields, so when the fiery darts of the enemy come, they will be extinguished on the weathered leather of our shields, because the big rectangular ones were usually covered in leather and watered and weathered, either with oil or water. And then over us is his shield. So he is the one who protects. He said to Abraham in Genesis 15, "Fear not, Abraham." Before he changed his name and put the H in it, the H. "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and exceeding great reward." If you just take these things and just look at them and realize the absolute power in all this, in one psalm of David, as he comes to the last sort of quarter, or whatever you would call it, of his life, and he's looking back on how God has looked after him and how God is. And you can see there David's heart. He says he's my high tower. He's my high place. He's my high fortress. And what did the psalmist tell you that we do? We run into him. We run into his name. So we run into his fortress. We run into his stronghold. We run into his behind his horn. We run into his salvation. We run into him. I am in him and he is in me. See, all the way through David's life, through my life, through Jane's life, and I'm sure through your lives, the Lord has been David's, our true security. Because there comes a time in everybody's experience when every prop is removed. And when every prop is removed, what are you standing on? But the rock. That's my testimony to you, of the things I've been through. But when every prop got taken away. But Jesus was there. And he was my rock beneath my feet. And he lifted me up. In and through the tears. In and through the hurt. And healed my heart. But when every prop is taken away, there's the solid rock of who he is beneath our feet. This is what David is saying, in essence. It's the bottom line. I could just give you that bottom line. His confidence, his security was in God as his strength, his shield, his salvation, his deliverer, his high tower, a place where he can run, a place of refuge. And so this is why he prays and sings at the very end of this song. This is yours, this is special for you. Okay, and he says, "Oh, the Almighty is alive and conquers all. Praise is lifted high to the unshakable God, towering over all. My Saviour God is worthy to be praised. Look how he's paid back harm to all who harm me, subduing all the peoples who come against me. He's rescued me from my enemies. He's lifted me up and he keeps me out of reach of the enemy, far away from the grasp of my violent foe." And we have a violent foe. "This is why I thank God with high praises." The end, Psalms 49 and 50. "May the high praises of my mouth." This is why I thank God with high praises. "I will sing my song to the highest God, so all among the nations will hear me. You have appointed me king and rescued me. Time and time again with your magnificent miracles. You've been merciful and kind to me, your anointed one." Can we say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, that's right.
"You've been merciful and kind to me, your anointed one." This favour will be forever seen upon your loving servant David, and all my true seed, every heir of this promise. That's me and you. Yeah. because we are our Saviour, our Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus. Jesus is of the seed of David. David's greater son, Yeshua.
Yeah.
We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, with all our heart. Thank you, Lord, for being all these things to each one of us, and will be all these things to each one of us as the days lie ahead. So, Lord, I pray for great grace to pour upon this group. I pray for surpassing grace and great grace to drop upon these people, your servants, your anointed ones, for such a time as this. I pray they will be like the sons of Issachar, Lord, who understand the times that they live in, for such a time as this. So Father, we put a seal on our hearts right now, and a seal on the word, Lord, that you would drop into each one of our hearts. Your destiny scrolls for each one of us as individuals, but as corporate people, as your ecclesia, those who are called out, those who are set apart for your pleasure and your purposes. Because, Lord, we recognize that you are most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in you. May our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our spirits be dedicated unto you, Lord. We consecrate ourselves today unto you, for tomorrow you will do wonders.
Yes, Lord.
We ask for those wonders, Lord, to be our experience in our lives and in this corporate body here in Leeds. That your wonders, Lord, will be executed in this area, and that the principalities and the powers will not be able to prevail, because you are warrior.
Tasted.